Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Yud Ches. I believe we are up to, is that what we're up to? Yes. The Mishnah, bottom of daf Yud Zayin and Beis. Okay, so what we're going to discuss today is a person being Tovel Kalim and being Tovel himself on Erev Yom Tov that's Chal on Shabbos. So we're going to talk about Tevila on Shabbos, going to the Mikvah on Shabbos. The Gemara is going to give four different reasons for why he might be usher to be Tovel on Shabbos and Yantiv. Meaning, after all, what's the problem? Someone was asking me yesterday, what's the problem with swimming on Yantiv? Here we have a whole daf, I guess this is a daf Yomi coincidence, a whole daf about what's the problem with even being Tovel on Yantiv. What could the issue be? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities. It's going to have five kashas, five challenges to the idea that we are gozer Yom Tov atu Shabbos, that whatever the problem is really only a Shabbos problem, and Yantiv is just a gzeira atu Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to have five problems with suggesting that we make such a gzeira. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss a little bit the concept of hoil, that if something is mutter on, in one context, that it's got to be mutter in another context as well. And then, at the very end of the daf, we're going to try to identify who the Tana of our Mishnah is. The Mishnah has said that Mashikin v'lamad gilin, as we'll see in a moment, so we're going to try to identify who the Tana of that Mishnah is. So let's begin. We are at the Mishnah on Yud Zayin and Beis at the bottom of the page. Chal lios achar HaShabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, so Beishamai Omer madgilin asakol min l'fnei HaShabbos, Beishamai says whatever you need to be tovel, because there's a chiyuv, chayev adam l'tahir es atzmo beregel. The person has to be mitar himself for regel, not only for the regalim, not only mitar himself, but he should be mitar his kelim as well, so that everything can be done b'tahara on Yom Tov. So normally you would take care of all of this on Erev Yom Tov. Problem is, Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos. So Beishamai says you need to take care of all of this before Shabbos. Everything has to be toveled before Shabbos. Beisilul Omrim, kelim milfnei Shabbos. If you're going to tovel kelim, now when the Mishnayos refer to kelim, we often think of tevilas kelim in terms of clay Su'uda, because the halacha that we still have regarding tevila of kelim is only about clay Su'uda. When we buy clay Su'uda from a guy, we have a requirement of tevilas kelim, machlok Rishonim, whether that's Doraisa or Derabbanan, but we have this requirement of tevilas kelim. When we talk about tevilas kelim in the Mishnayos, though, it's not only about clay Su'uda. They would have a jacket that became tameh, and they would have to tovel that in a mikvah. So we're talking about toveling clothing. Clothing are also types of kelim. So there's all different types of tevilas kelim. So when it says kelim in the Fnei Shabbos, doesn't just mean clay suda. It means any types of kelim. A person's shirt, he would tovel before Shabbos. Va'adam b'Shabbos. But the person himself can go to the mikvah on Shabbos, which is Erev Yom Tov. Parenthetically, we had mentioned that this whole mission is based on the concept that chayav adam l'taher atzmo biregel. That's the expression that the Mishnah used, l'taher atzmo biregel. Biregel clearly means, as we see over here, before the Yantiv. There's a question about Chayav Adam Levaker Pnei Rabbo Beregel. So Kasha and Reb Lazar is the Baal Memra. Chayav Adam Levaker Pnei Rabbo Beregel. Reb Lazar is also the one that holds that a person has to be in the same sukkah for all days of sukkahs, that he's not allowed to go on sukkahs to another sukkah. So he has to eat all 14 meals in the same sukkah. So all the Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. How could the same Reb Lazar say that you have to go visit the Rebbe? If you're going to go visit the Rebbe, you're going to end up in another sukkah at some point. So one of the achronim suggests chayav adam levaker pnei rabbo biregel. I think the Bach writes this on the side of the tour. Chayav adam levaker pnei rabbo biregel might mean before regel also, like chayav adam latar atzmo biregel. That's how they're miyashiv. I think that's how the Bach is miyashiv. The stira, the Gemara Psachim says that sholin v'dorshim behilch sachag shloshim yom kodem achag, and then the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Megillah, the very last piece of Gemara, Maseches Megillah says that we're sholim hilchas haPesach bePesach, hilchas haTzeres beAtzeres. So all the Rishonim, the Ran, and the Beis Yosef, everyone's bothered by the Kasha. Which is it? Do you have to learn 30 days in advance, or you only learn the day of? So I think that's what the Bach says, that when it says that hilchas Pesach bePesach, it's like Chayav Adam Levaker Atzmo biregel. It doesn't mean on the day of. It means in advance of that day. So you prepare so that one could be properly prepared for Pesach. Okay, further in the Mishnah, v'shavin shemashikin esamayim b'kli even l'taharon. If you have tameh water, so there is a way to be metaher tameh water. Let's say you have clean water, it's perfectly clean, but it's tameh. And then you have a mikvah that's full of dirty, filthy, disgusting water, but it's mikvah, so it's tahar water. So how can you make that clean water that you have tahar. So the way you do it is you put it in a kli and you do hashaka. You put the kli in a mikvah and you allow the surface of that water to touch the surface of the mikvah water just for a second, and then you pick up the water. The water is still basically clean, even though it touched the mikvah water, but now it has become tahar.
So,
right, well, we do that to take care of the mayim she'uvim problem. That's how we refill the mikveh with a hole in a pipe that connects the two sides of the mikveh. The Chabad mikvehs have one on top of the other. That's it's an interesting halachic discussion whether that's valid or not. But all the Chabad mikvehs always have one on top, the two boroughs are one on top of the other. But that it's a similar concept. But over here, it's about being metaher tameh water. Over there, it's about making water that's mayim she'uvim, that's drawn through pipes and through a faucet, making a part of a mikvah water. But yeah, it's exactly the same concept. So v'shavin shemashikinus hamayim b'kli evin l'tarin. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos to be metar of the water. Avalo matbilim, but you're not allowed to be matbil the kelim. You're not allowed to be tovel the kelim on Yantif, on Shabbos rather. So says the Gemara, umatbilim migav legav umichabur lechabur. So Rashi points out that line of the Mishnah we're not supposed to understand. That line of the Mishnah of what that means, we're going to have to wait for the Gemara to get to that. So first order of business is the Gemara is going to discuss for the first half of this daf what's the problem with going to the mikvah or putting your kelim in the mikvah. Any of these things on Shabbos. So the Kuli Almamias Kli b'Shabbos lo. Everyone agrees your kelim cannot go in the mikvah on Shabbos. So my time, what's the reason for this? What's the problem? The Gemara is going to have four suggestions. Suggestion number one, Amar Rabba. Rabba suggests that the problem is Gzeira Shemi Yitlanu Biyado V'Yavirenu Arba Amos Bereshus HaRabim. That should be a familiar Gzeira. Rabba makes this Gzeira all over Shas, that we're afraid that you're going to, if you have to be tovel your kelim on Shabbos, if you're allowed to be tovel your kelim on Shabbos, we're afraid you're going to take your kelim and you're going to carry it for Amos and Rishos Rabim. This is the same exact Zerah that Rabbi made, why we don't take Lulav on Shabbos, why we don't blow Shofar on Shabbos, why we don't do Megillah on Shabbos. This Gemara appears all over Shas, that Rabbi says this Zerah that we're afraid you're going to carry Dalet Amos for Rishos Rabim. Tosos all over Shas asks the Kasha, why are you afraid that you're going to carry for Amos for Rishos Rabim? There are three ways to violate the Malacha of Hotza'ah. You could either violate by carrying for Amos and Rishos Rabim, you could violate by carrying from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, or you can violate by carrying from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. Now, what's most likely to happen first? If you have your shofar, your megillah, your lulav, or your kelim, where does it likely start off? In your house. And then you want to go to a mikvah, so where are you going to be heading? You're going to be heading out of your house. So shouldn't the concern not be about carrying dalet amos for Rishos HaRabim? The concern should be before that. The concern should be about taking it out from your house from the Rishos HaYachid to the Rishos HaRabim. So Tosfos over here, no exception over here. Tosfos raises the issue over here as well. Tema, my lokamar shami yotzianu mirishos yachad lirishos rabim. Why don't we say that the concern is you're going to carry from rishos yachad to rishos rabim? So it says Tosfos yishlamar sheisha kera bepesach ubigufufei achatzer. That typically speaking, if we're afraid you're going to carry dalet amos and rishos rabim, it means that you're not going to realize what you're doing when you're carrying over the threshold of your house. You're going outside the front door of your house. You're going to realize that you're going from one rishos to another. But Dalet Amos per Rishos Rabim, there's no border when you hit the four. You're not like in a force field that somehow reminds you or that zaps you when you go four Amos. So there's nothing to remind you as you're going four Amos. That's why he expresses the concern in terms of going Dalet Amos per Rishos Rabim, rather than expressing the concern in terms of going from a Rishos Yachid to a Rishos Rabim or vice versa. You would stop and go back. Yeah, the assumption is a person's on a rush. He's not trying to do this. Yeah, but it's more of a, right, more obvious than just walking in out in the open, exactly. So Amalei Abaye, second line from the top, Amalei Abaye, Yesh lo bor b'chatzero ma'ikol neymar. What if you happen to have a mikveh in your backyard? So then what are we worried about? If there's not going to be, and we're assuming the Mishnah did not make any exceptions, so we're assuming the Mishnah would have a problem with being tovel kelim, even if you have a mikveh in your backyard. So what's the concern? Atu. That's a gzeira midrabanan. That even if you have a bar b'chatzero, we're going to ask it atu a case where you have Barber Shosarabim, where we have the actual Gezerah of Shami Avriyan Adal Rabbis per Shosarabim. So it sounds very much like the Gezerah of the Gezerah. And not only that, the Gemara is going to go one step further. Hatenach Shabbos, and this concern of carrying is only a concern on Shabbos, be Yom Tov Michael and Meimar, when it comes to Yom Tov, where you're allowed to carry, it's not really 100% true that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. You're allowed to carry anything that you need at all on Yom Tov. Carrying is one of the malachas that we say, mitoch shotru l'tzorech, hutranami shalol l'tzorech, that you're allowed to do it even when you don't really need it that badly on Yom Tov, or you don't need it for ochel nefesh, as long as Tosfos points out in several places in Shas, there's a tzorech ktsas. There needs to be somewhat of a Yom Tov need. So let's say an old candy wrapper that's in your pocket on Yom Tov, so that you shouldn't carry outside on Yom Tov without a neiruv. But if you have something, tissues that you might use, or anything that you might use that has any sort of tzorech ktsas, that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. So this would at least qualify as a tzorech ktsas. You have kelim that you want to be metaher, you want to bring them to the mikvah, so l'chorah, that would be a tzorech ktsas. So why is it that on Yom Tov we're going to not allow you to tovel things in the mikvah? If the whole problem of toveling things in the mikvah on Shabbos is that you might carry it, on Yom Tov there's no problem with carrying it. So what's the problem? Gazru Yom Tov atu Shabbos. It's a gezerah of Yom Tov atu a case of Shabbos. So says Tosos, v'lo havi gezerah l'gezerah, to Yom Tov v'Shabbos achasi. That's not a case of a gezerah l'gezerah, because Yom Tov and Shabbos is one and the same. Yom Tov and Shabbos are considered to be, on days of Kedusha, they made the gezerah that you shouldn't be tovel kelim. So it's considered one and the same, that's not considered a gezerah l'gezerah. It's interesting, Tosos did not raise the question of gezerah l'gezerah in the previous line, when we spoke about bor b'chatzero. Again, the whole reason why it's also to be tovel on Shabbos, to be tovel the kelim on Shabbos, is a gezerah shemi yavirenu dal aram spiritual shabbat. And when you have a bor b'chatzero, gzeira atu when you don't have a bor b'chatzero. That sounds like a gzeira l'gzeira. So Pashtun says, I think, that would be called kula chada gzeira. That when they made the original gzeira, they just made it flat across the board, that you can't be tovel things on Shabbos. Because whenever the case is iloha, lo kaimaha, that without that second level gzeira, the first level gzeira never would have lasted, and never people would never have been able to follow it. So then it's all considered chada gezerah. It's not considered to be a gezerah legezerah. It's a fascinating question. Rav Shechter discusses in his notes that were going around the Wadi Beis Medrash years ago on Maseches Beitza. He discusses, when we say this din that you're not allowed to make a gezerah legezerah, is that a halacha that the chacham were not allowed to make a gezerah legezerah, or did they just generally choose not to make a gezerah legezerah? Did they find that to be something that they weren't interested in doing? I mean, it would be in the case of great need, if they wanted to make a gzera l'gzera, are they entitled to make a gzera l'gzera? So, v'asu siyag l'torah, v'lo siyag l'siyag. The chamer allowed to make a siyag l'torah. So, v'darshin, not a siyag l'siyag. So, is that just an asmachta, or is that a real drasha? That it's baltosa. That for the chacham, there's a big question the Rishonim all ask. Anytime the Chum make any din, shouldn't it be a violation of Baltosif? Anytime the Chum add any din? So one of the approaches is that if it's a siyag l'Torah, if it's protecting the Torah, so that's within what the Torah demands of the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan have to do whatever they can to protect the Torah. Memela, anything that's not within siyag l'Torah, that's beyond siyag l'Torah, not only would it be something that's unnecessary or that they're not required to do, it would be a violation of Baltosif. Or do you assume that, no, the Chacham are allowed to do whatever they see fit? Generally, they didn't see fit to make a gzera l'gzera. Yeah, if half the time that they do make a gzera l'gzera, we always touch it up and we call it chada gzera. But sometimes they do make a gzera l'gzera. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, we're going to make a gzera of Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to issue five challenges to that idea, that we're going to be gozer Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. I mean, before we even get to the second approach of why it is that it's also the Tovel Kelim and Shabbos, we're going to have five challenges to this approach. So frankly, the Gemara, migaz rina, do we really make such gzeros? V'atnan, we have a mishnah of v'shavin shemashikin asamayim b'klei evin l'tara nevelomet bilin. Our mishnah said that everyone agrees beishamay ambesila that you're allowed to be metaher water that you have in a kli evin to be metaher them, but you're not allowed to be matbil. V'iisa nigzor hashaka atu hatbala. If we make such gzeros of things that are similar to each other, we should make a gzera that you should not be allowed to do hashaka, lest you come to do hatbala as well. Tosa says we should have asked, if we make such gzeros, we should have said you shouldn't be allowed to do ashaka unless you carry it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we ask that question? Meaning that would be a more direct question on this approach of Rabbah. Rabbah's whole approach is that we're afraid you can carry dal amos in Rosh Hashanah. Then why do we allow you to be metaher water in a mikvah? Shouldn't we be worried that you're going to carry the water 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah? Tosas bothered by that kasha. So he says, no, by a kli, there's more of a concern that you'll carry it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah because you need that kli. But when it comes to water, we assume that you'll be able to find other water. If you can't have that water that's currently tamei, you can't have a way to be metired, you're not going to get so caught up in trying to be metired this water that you can end up carrying it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is not going to ask that question, but the Gemara is going to ask, why not Asr hashaka, lest you come to do hatbala. So says Mar Vitizbra, Yisle Mayim Yafim Hani Lamili Mevelu Hashaka. Look, if the guy had good water, if the guy had clean tahar water, why would he need to do hashaka in the first place? Elo Delesle, we must be talking about a case where he doesn't have other clean tahar water. Vikibin Delesle, Mizar Zarabuhu. So if he doesn't have other clean tahar water, we assume he's going to be very careful about the water that he does have, not to carry it 4 amos and not to do anything wrong with it, not to be metameid. And the way Rashi explains this is that since it's something that is an unlikely scenario, it's an unlikely scenario that he doesn't have, so he's going to be very careful to make sure it doesn't become tamei in the first place. That's Misr Zarabu. It means he's going to be careful to make sure it doesn't become tamei. So if it in fact became tamei, like the case is that it became tamei, that's a Misr Zalashkiach. And anything that's a Misr Zalashkiach, lo gazu be Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are not going to make a gzeira on something that's uncommon. That's what Rosh Hashanah really discussed in his notes. Not only about the gzeira and the gzeira, but the concept of Misr Zalashkiach, lo gazu be Rabbanan. Is that beyond the rights of the Rabbanan to be gozer in the Misr Zalashkiach? Or it's just something that they chose not to be gozer in the Misr Zalashkiach? But either way, they would not be gozer on the Misr Zalashkiach. So that's why that challenge is not a challenge. So now the Gemara tries challenge number two. Again, we're challenging the concept that we're gozer Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. That just because it's asr to be tovel kelim on Shabbos, can be asr to be tovel them on Yom Tov also as a gzera. So it says Gemara Eisvei, do we really make such a gzera? Madlim bidli tamei v'hu tahar v'i'is. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to draw water from a bar on Yantif in a dili tame, in a tame bucket, even though it's going to become tahar when you draw the water. I mean, you're dropping the bucket into the well to pull out the water. So the bucket's being toveled as you're drawing the water. Your kavana is not to tovel the bucket. Your kavana is to draw the water. V'i'isa, but if the chacham are really machmir, by tefilas kelim on Shabbos, nigzer, we should ask, even doing this, dilma asilat buli be'enei, lest you just come to tovel the bucket, just to tovel the bucket for the bucket's sake. So don't you see, we don't make such gazeros. So it says, no, shiny hasam, the case of the bucket is different, is because mitok shalo hutrlo el al yedei dilyo zacharu. Since we only allow you to draw the water with the bucket, which is not the normal way to tovel something, so it's only al yedei drawing water that we allow sticking the bucket in, and that's not normally the way you tovel something, by drawing all the mikvah water out. Adrabah, normally when you tovel something, you don't want to take any of the mikvah water out. You want to leave all the mikvah water in. So Zachar, you'll remember that this is only mutter because you happen to be drawing water out. Person's not going to come to make that mistake. So the second challenge is rejected. Third challenge, Esve, the Gemara asks again, Kalisha nitma me'er v'yomtov, ein matvilin oso b'yomtov. If a kli became tamei on Erev Yomtov, let's say it became tamei with an av hatuma on Erev Yomtov, so the kli is a rishon, you're not allowed to be tovel it on Yantiv because you should have taken care of it on Erev Yomtov. But b'yomtov, if the kli itself became tamei on Yomtov, matbilin oso b'yomtov, then you can be tovel it on Yantiv so that you could use it for Yomtov itself, because there was no way you could have taken care of it in Erev Yomtov. It would not have worked to take care of it in Erev Yomtov. It wasn't tamei yet on Erev Yomtov. But v'yemisa, but if the chacham are so machmir by tevila, and that there goes a gezeru l'gezeru by tevila, so nigzar the Yomtov atu Erev Yomtov, we should be gozer to aser tevilas kelim that became tamei on Yomtov, atu kelim that became tamei on Erev Yomtov where it's aser. So the Gemara answers, Tuma b'yom tov milsas lo shchichihi. Remember what we said before. There's a chiyuv to be metar atzmo beregel. Everyone always has to be metar themselves for yantiv. So the fact for a kli to become tame from nava tuma and yantiv is very unlikely. That's a milsas lo shchicha. A milsas lo shchicha lo gozer b'rabbanon, and the rabbanon were never gozer on a milsas lo shchicha. So we have no such concern. So challenge number four now to this idea that we gozer yantiv atu shabbos with a gezerah l'gezerah. So says the Gemara Eisve. I'll ask you a further challenge. Klisha nitma ba'ava tuma ein matvilim also b'yom tov. You have a kli that became tamei on erev yom tov from an ava tuma. You're not allowed to be tovel it on yom tov. But b'vlada tuma. But if the kli became tamei on erev yom tov with a vlada tuma, with a rishon tuma, then matvilim also b'yom tov. Then you're allowed to be tovel it on yom tov, because min ha-Torah a kli cannot become tamei from a vlad hatuma. A vlad hatuma is a rishon l'tuma or lower. Min haTorah, a rishon l'tuma cannot be metamei a kli. It can only be metamei ochlin u'mashkin. It can only be metamei food or drink. So the kli becoming a sheni l'tuma is itself only a din midrabanan. So the chamor mekel that if it touched a vlad hatuma, where the tuma anyway is not daraisa, they are allowed to be tovel it on yom tov. But v'im isa, but if we're going to make zeros, nigzar ha atuha, we should aser toveling a kli that became tame with a vladatuma atu a kli that became tame with an avatuma. So it says, vladatuma hechim shkachasla gabe kohanim. Kohanim is reason him. Well, how would you ever have a vladatuma in the first place? I mean that it would require tevila. It's not, meaning, what's a vladatuma? Vladatuma is something, a kli that became tame with vladatuma means that the kli became tame from a rishon. If the kli became tummy from rishon, it means that the kli itself is a sheni. Why would you ever need to be tovel a kli that itself is a sheni? What's going to happen if you put food in such a kli? The worst thing that's going to happen to that food is it's going to become a shlishi. The halacha is, for a regular Yisrael, there is no such thing as a shlishi. The only thing that can become a shlishi l'tuma is truma or kadshim. The only people that are eligible to eat truma or kachim are kohanim. So the only people that this halacha would ever be nogea to, that would ever need to be tovel kli that became tamei from a vlada tuma, are kohanim. Well, we have a rule, kohanim's reason him. Kohanim are very, very careful about the tuma. Memela, the very concept of being tovel this kli is a milsav lo shchicha, because kohanim would never allow their kelim to get to this point in the first place, to become a sheni l'tuma, where this would even be an issue. So we say, so that's the Gemara's answer. Vladatum echim shkasa b'kohanim. Kohanim's reason name. Kohanim are going to be very careful. It's never going to be a problem in the first place. Tashma, fifth and final kasha on this idea that we make these gezeros very easily. Damru chia barashi amarav. Nida she'in la begadim. If a nida doesn't have any begadim that are tahar, ma'aremes v'toveles b'begadeha, she could do a harama and be tovel with her clothing on her. So the case is you have a situation of a nida who it's her time to go to the mikvah on Yom Tov and she doesn't have any Tahar clothing to wear. Now the halacha is the nida herself is allowed to go to the mikvah, but we said in the Mishnah there's an isser to be tovel kelim on Yom Tov, and kelim means even clothing. So she's allowed to go to the mikvah, but once she goes to the mikvah, she has nothing to wear. A woman says, "I have nothing to wear." This woman's actually honestly saying she literally has nothing to wear because all of her kelim is all of her kelim are tame. So ma'aremes, she could do a harama and be tovel with her clothing on her. Keep her clothing on and go to the mikvah, and the tevila will work both for her and her clothing, and it's not going to be a violation of the Yisra Tevilas Kalim, because it's not so recognizable that she's doing this as the Tevila for her Begadim. It looks like she's doing this just for her own Tevila, and the Tevilas Adam, according to Beis Hillel, we said in our Mishnah, is Mutar on Yatav. But V'im Isa, but if the Chachamim were really so machmir in such a Gzera, so Nigzar, Dilma, Asilat, Bule Bey, Nayu, should we make a Gzera that she should not be allowed to go to the mikvah with her clothing, lest she might come to just put her clothing in the mikvah, she might come to be tovel clothing. Since we only allow her to put her clothing in the mikvah when she's in them, so she'll remember that there is this problem, there is this concern, she's not going to come to be tovel the clothing as is in the mikvah. That's very fascinating that we're allowing a woman to go to the mikvah clothed. What about chatzitza? So the assumption has to be that she's wearing very loose clothes. clothing, and that there's not going to be chatzitza, that the water's going to touch every single part of her body, even as she's wearing the clothing. And now we obviously would not allow such a thing, l'chadchila, we typically would not allow such a thing, because we'd be concerned that that maybe the clothing isn't loose enough, and that there would be a chatzitza on the body. That would be, yeah.
How's she ma'amirin?
When it's a harama that she's trying to be tovel her clothing, but she's saying, oh, I'm just going in the mikvah myself. I just don't want to be tovel her clothing.
She has to make a declaration of some sort?
What?
She has to make a declaration of some sort?
No, she's just going in with her clothing on. So it looks like she's going into the mikvah. But really, it's a way to get her. Normally, when she would go into the mikvah, she'd take off her clothing. But she's going into the mikvah with the clothing as a way of getting her clothing to be tahar. That's the only way she could do it on Yantiv. Okay, that was all within the first possibility of what the problem is with being Tovel, Kalim, on Shabbos and Yantiv in the first place, was Rabba's concern, Shema Yavirena, that you might come to carry.
That one
we tried, but we failed, every refutation failed. So yeah, so Rabba still stands, L'chora, at the end of the Gemara, which is an important question to ask, because we're going to see when the Poskim bring this halacha, the Rif, for instance, when he brings this halacha, he quotes some of these. We're going to have four reasons for this halacha. They're not allowed to tovel things on Shabbos Yantiv. The Rif quotes some of them, not others. And it's questionable why he quotes some and not others. L'chora Shema Yavirenu should be a very strong reason, because we paskin Shema Yavirenu Dalam's Pushas Rabbim every other place in Shas that it's brought. Right, so one would imagine that we should paskin it over here as well. Okay, so second possibility, says Mark.
One question about Shemiyah Rishon Shus Haralam. You said, you don't ask on Rishon Shus Haralam because you don't even lock at the door. You know that you're going to the Rishon Shus Haralam.
Right.
So then how are you ever going to come to walk our Amos Rishon Shus Haralam?
Yeah, so the assumption would have to be that it would start in Rishon Shus Haralam, which is odd. It's an odd assumption. You would still think it's more likely to take something from your house to outside, because more likely it starts in your house. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's difficult. So says Mar Rav Yosef Amar Gzera Mishum Schita. Rav Yosef says, no, the reason it can't be Tovel Kalim, and this is why I made a big deal when we read the Mishnah, that Kalim doesn't mean like Klei Su'uda. It means Kalim like clothing and things like that. It's a Gzera because you might come to wring it out. You might come to squeeze out the Kalim. So that may be another reason not to go swimming on the Yantif, that you're making your bathing suit wet. So that's a Gzera Mishum Schita. So Amalei Abaye Tema Kalim Dibnei Schita Ninu Kalim Dvav Nei Schita Ninu Mayikul Meimer. So Abaye says, great, Rav Yosef, you say the problem is one of Schita, then it should only be a problem to tovel clothing, but you should be allowed to tovel forks and knives and things like that that you can't do schita on. Amle gzera hani atu hani. Says no, we make a gzera of other kelim atu these kelim. So esve kalhani tiyufta. Instead of repeating all the five challenges of whether we make such gzeros, so the Gemara just says, so plug in the five challenges that we had before v'shani lekidashaninan, and give all five answers to the five challenges that we gave before. Or do we really make such gezeiros? Schita is an interesting thing. Schita is not one of the avos malachas of Shabbos. There's no malacha called schita. So what's the malacha? It's machlokas rishonim. The rishonim discuss in the beginning of Chesuvos whether it's dash, which is the primary opinion, seems the majority of rishonim seem to hold, that schita is asur mishum dash, or it's asur mishum melabein, that the issur is one of melabein. There are big nafkaminas whether it's asur mishum dash or asur mishum melabein. Melabein, what Tosfos writes in Chesuvos, would only apply if it's a liquid that you would launder with. If it's a liquid you would never launder with, like shemen or yayin or something like that is in a garment and you squeeze it out, that would not be melabin, because who would ever wash something with such a liquid? Dash would only be a problem if what you squeeze out is then usable. But if you squeeze something out and then it's immediately holech li'ibud, it immediately gets ruined as soon as it's squeezed out, so that would not be a violation of dash. So this is a major discussion in the poskim when it comes to a lot of things, but one of the major things when it comes to brushing teeth on Shabbos. So one of Rav Moshe's big tainas against brushing teeth on Shabbos, he had a lot of them, one of his big problems with brushing teeth on Shabbos is that squeezing out the water from the bristles is a violation of schita. So if you wet your toothbrush before you brush, he held it's a violation of schita. it's schita b'seyar, because the bristles don't actually absorb anything, so it's not actual schita. But the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara in Shabbos says ain't schita b'seyar. But the Kesef Mishnah and others point out, the Rishon already point out, ain't schita b'seyar midaraisa midarabanan, it's still a problem. So Moshe held that it's a problem of schita midarabanan to squeeze out the water from the bristles. So Shlomo Zalman held not that way. If you ever been in Israel, they sell Shabbos toothpaste in Israel, which is a liquid toothpaste. Rav Moshe would hold that that's aser, that you can't use such a toothpaste, because Rav Moshe holds it's a violation of schita. Rav Shlomo Zalman held the reason Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Zalman's Maradasra in Eretz Yisrael, so in Eretz Yisrael, everyone assumes not that way. They assume that you could have liquid toothpaste. Why? So why isn't it a violation of Malabain? Because it's gross. It's by the time it's squeezed out, it's already touching your teeth and touching the toothpaste. It's already not clean, fresh water, so it's not something you would be Malabain with. Why isn't it a violation of dash? Because it's holich li'ibud. As soon as it goes into your teeth, it's holich li'ibud. It's not something that you can then use to wash your floor with or to do anything with. It's immediately holich li'ibud. So those are some of the svaras. There's a big back and forth between Shlomo Zalman and the Sri Deish. They're both makil on the issues of schita by the toothbrush, but for different reasons. Sri Deish gives a whole tshuva of four explanations why he's makel. Shlomo Zalman says, I like none of your explanations, but I still think it's mutter in terms of the schita issue. Rav Salvechik held that it's all mutter, that even using regular toothpaste is totally fine. He didn't think it was a violation of memachik or memareach, like Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman held it's a violation of memachik and memareach. Rav Vadi also held, for Svarim, Rav Vadi held that it's also totally mutter, except Rav Vadi held, it's a very strange sheet. Rav Vadi has a long tshuva in Yabiya Omer. He goes through all the nine issues that come up with brushing your teeth, and he says none of them are an issue. He's making and everything, and then he gets to Uvda Dechol, and he says Uvda Dechol is a problem. You need a special Shabbos toothbrush, and that solves the problem of Uvda Dechol. So that's how Rav Vadi. Uvda Dechol means it's a weekday activity. It's something that it's too much like a not Shabbos dick. So the way to solve the dechol, you get a special one for Shabbos. So you have a special toothbrush that says, "Come Shabbos Kaidish," and then you're good to.
How about the toothpaste?
Rav Vadi is making it with the toothpaste.
What's the most of the viscosity? I know that's the term, the viscosity of regular toothpaste, but that's always the big.
Right. So Rav Moshe held that. Well, let's say you take a cream. There's a nogea here in Florida when it's sunny outside, actually. People want to know if they can put on sunscreen. So if you take a cream and you rub it on your skin, that's a malacha called mimareach. So mimareach is when you take something that has some substance to it, like a, you know, and you rub it and smooth it out over an area. That's a tolda of mimachik. Mimachik is the av malacha, which is if they have an animal hide that's a little bit hairy, so they'd scrape it down to make it smooth. When they told Rav Salvechik at first that Rav Moshe holds using toothpaste is a violation of mimachik, Rav Salvechik didn't understand. He said, "Mimachik, that means you're scraping it down and making it smooth." He said, "If that were true, then after 10 times brushing your teeth, you shouldn't have teeth left, if you're scraping it down and making it smooth." So they reported it wrong to Rav Salvechik. Rav Moshe never said mimachik. He did say mimachik, but he never meant mimachik. He meant the told of mimachik, which is mimareach, that you smooth out a substance evenly over it. So there are svaras lahatir. Rav Salvechik held that it's mimareach, it's not mimareach, because mimareach is only when it stays on the thing that you, meaning you rub it into your skin, let's say, or it's staying on the substance that you're rubbing it into. But the teeth, you rub rubbing it over your teeth, but it never goes into your teeth. So they asked Rav Salvechik, but in the advertisements it says that it leaves a protective coating around your teeth. So he said, you don't have to believe every advertisement. He didn't think that protective coating is recognized by the halacha. I wrote a whole article many years ago about brushing teeth on Shabbos. My Rebbe holds that it's mutter, so I brush my teeth on Shabbos.
With a special toothbrush?
No, a regular toothbrush. Rav Salvechik held it's mutter. I remember I after I published the article, I got a letter from someone from Chicago, said that your article is wonderful, but how could you not quote Rav Regensburg? Rav Regensburg has a tshuva on this topic where he's making and brushing teeth. I never heard of Rav Regensburg. I never heard of who Rav Regensburg is. I didn't know who he was. Yes, so apparently I got the letter from his grandson. The grandson, who has a different name, so I didn't recognize, said that, so Rav Shechter told me, yeah, he says, I remember Rav Regensburg sent my father Shafzad sent his father his sefer, and his father said, I don't have time to read this book. Do me a favor, read it for me and tell me if there's anything good. So Rav Shachter read it, and Rav Shachter said, yeah, on toothbrush, he says the exact same thing that Rav Soloveitchik said. So it's the same as Regensburg and Rav Soloveitchik, all the same way, on brushing teeth. Okay, says the Gemara further. Rav Bibi Amar, a third possibility of what the problem with Tovel and Kalim on Shabbos might be. Rav Bibi Amar, Gezeira Shema Yishe, we're afraid you're going to keep your tummy kalim around, and just wait till Shabbos Yontif when you have more time to tovel things. And by keeping tummy things around, that's not a good thing. Tani kavasid ravibi klisha nitma meir yomtov ein matbilin also yomtov gezera shem yisha. It's all the gezera that says beferish that if we allow you to be tovel on Yontif, people are going to just save it till Yontif when you're not doing anything anyway, you're not working anyway, so you'll have more time to deal with it then. And that's bad because we don't want you keeping tummy things around your house. It's going to be also the day takala. It's going to cause you to be metame things unnecessarily. Fourth possibility, Rava Amar, what's the problem with being Tovel Kelim? Mimneshin Nirakim Misakin Kli, that it appears that you're being Misakin a Kli, and it makes it look like you're fixing a Kli by being Tovel it. Ihachi Adam Nami, well, if that's the case, then a person shouldn't be able to be Tovel either, because you're being Misakin the Adam. The person is being fixed by going to the mikveh. Says Gemara, no, Adam Nirakim Mekar. When a person goes to the mikveh, it looks like he's just cooling off on a hot day. So it doesn't look like it's a problem of being Misakin. So now we have these, we'll go further in this conversation in a moment, but now we have these four reasons why you can't be Tovel Kalim on Shabbos / Yontif. Either Shami Avrana Dalaram's Prashtram was reason number one. Reason number two was Mishum Schita. Number three was you might leave it around. And number four was Misakin Kli. When the Rif quotes this halacha, he only brings Rav Yosef that it's a Chashash Schita, and Rav Bibi that it's Shema Yisha, that you might leave it around. He does not bring Rabba or Rava. He does not bring the Shema Yavirenu, so he only brings reasons numbers two and three, not one and four, not Shema Yavirenu Dalarams Prashtram, and not Nira Kimisakin. So the Rush wonders about this Rif. He says, why does he quote these reasons? It's by Tvilas Kalim, Bismanazeh, it's not shaykh these reasons. Meaning the reason of schita certainly is not shaykh by tefilas kelim bismanazeh, because tefilas kelim bismanazeh is not clothing. And the Rif was paskening for us bismanenu. He's not paskening kachem sugis. The Rif didn't even write on things that relate to kachem and taharos. It was only bismanazeh. It's not the derech of the Rif to bring things that are not halacha lemaisa. Furthermore, tefilas kelim that you buy from a guy on yantiv, the minig is that it's usher. According to the Rif, there should be no isser of tefilas kelim. Of our kind of tefillas kelim. When you buy brand new kelim from a guy, there should be no reason, according to the Rif, that it would be aser. Gezeira Shem Yisha? Gezeira Shem Yisha is only about making things tame. You could leave kelim around that are not tovel. There's no concern that you can make anything tame with that schita. There's no concern of schita and forks and knives that you have around. So according to the Rif, there should be no reason to be metame, aser toveling kelim that you buy from a guy on Yantif. So that's why the Rush disagrees with the Rif, and many of the Achronim say that the Rif, even though he quotes these reasons, he means that even these reasons are nogeya, but he doesn't mean that it's only for these reasons. So anyway, so within the fourth reason, Rava that says it's a problem that it looks like it's being masaking. So he said a person also looks like he's cooling off. So a person also looks like it's being masaking. So he said, no, a person looks like he's just cooling off. That's great if the mikveh that a person is going to is clean. What if the mikveh person is going to is filthy, so it doesn't look like it's a beautiful swimming pool that he's just going to cool himself off in? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Pam Shadam Ba B'Sherev V'Roches Afil B'Mei Mishra. It depends how hot it is. Sometimes a person is willing to go into a disgustingly dirty pool also if it's really hot outside, so it could still look like it could still be near a kameka. So says Gemara, okay, Tenach B'Yemos HaChama, that's true in the summertime. But be mosak sham ma'ikel lemeimar. It should at least be usher for a person to go to the mikveh on Shabbos in the winter time. No one's going to say it looks like he's cooling off on a hot day. It's winter time. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, not winter in Florida, winter in a cold climate. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, pam shadam ba min asada meluchlach betitu betzawa veroches hafilu be mosak shamim. Now sometimes even in the winter time, a person will come filthy from wherever he's coming from a field, and he's gonna. And even in the wintertime, a person will be interested in washing off, in bathing, even in the even be mosa geshamim, even in the wintertime. So the maskan of the Gemara is that it's always mutter for a person to be tovel on Shabbos because it's not near kamisake, and it always looks like he's just cooling off or washing off some dirt from his body. Even if the real intention is to be tovel, yeah. But since it's nira kemekar, so therefore it's not a problem of nira kemisakin. Because the whole problem with the tefillah is not that it's being misakin, it's that it's nira kemisakin. Because there's no isser of misakin mana on a person, really. There's no actual isser. But people will confuse it with misakin mana. So there's no one that's going to confuse it if it's not nira kemisakin. So the Sefer Simchas Yontov says, okay, should he make a bracha on this tefillah? Meaning, won't that right, take away the nira kemekar? If he was just going to the mikveh to cool off, he's just going into a swimming pool to cool off or to wash off some dirt that he has on his body, well then he wouldn't be making a bracha. So should a person be making a bracha on such a tefillah? So nowadays men don't make a bracha on tefillah anyway, but when you're being tovel for taharos, so you do say a bracha. So should a person make a bracha on tefillah? L'chora, he shouldn't make a bracha. But he says, behechrich, that you do make a bracha, because otherwise we should require him to be tovel before Shabbos, and we should not just say, you know, flippantly, no problem, let him just be tovel on Shabbos, because he'll be losing out on the bracha. So it's a raya, l'chora, that he's allowed to make, that he's allowed to say the bracha. Maybe he doesn't say the bracha out loud, so it's not such a problem of nira kemisakin when the person says the bracha. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim. Okay, so says Martenach b'Shabbos b'Yom HaKippurim ma'ikul meimar. This all works very well on Shabbos. What about in Yom HaKippurim? Why can it be tovel on Yom HaKippurim? Amar Rava midi de b'Shabbos shari b'Yom HaKippurim aser. Well, is there anything that is mutter on Shabbos and is aser on Yom Kippur? So we can't aser on Yom Kippurim. Elahol b'Shabbos shari b'Yom HaKippurim nami shari. If it's mutter on Shabbos, so it's mutter on Yom Kippur. What do you mean? Is there anything that's mutter on Shabbos and aser on Yom Kippur? I could think of at least five things that are mutter on Shabbos and aser on Yom Kippur. All chamesh inuyim are aser on Yom Kippur. So it's talking about petaras malacha. It's saying something that's going to be aser as a malacha or as something that mimics a malacha or resembles a malacha. So you would never have such a thing that's mutter on Shabbos and aser on Yom Kippur. So that's why it's going to be mutter on Yom Kippur as well. So says Gemara, mi yisle l'Rava Hawil. But does Rava hold of this concept of Hawil that just because it's mutter on X, it's got to be mutter on Y? Vahatnan. But I'll tell you the following Mishnah: Hachoshesh b'shinav. If a person has a toothache. If a person has a toothache on Shabbos, l'yikma benes achometz, he shouldn't swallow vinegar or rinse with vinegar for the sake of refuah, because that's a violation of refuah on Shabbos. One is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. It's an issur drabanan, gzera mishum schik asav manin. That's an unusual kind of issur, because even though it is an issur and it's on the books, and we do hold like the Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamre, that anything chazal or gozer, you cannot undo the gzera, even if the tam no longer applies unless you have a basin that's gadol b'chacham of a minyan. But the poskim, for some reason, on that issur drabanan, come up with so many exceptions to the issur that it's kimat. It's very, very hard to find a case where the issur is actually there. Meaning that there's so many exceptions to the issur of shchik asav manim, to the issur of refuah. But over here, you have one. You have this is not an exception. This the Mishnah says that if someone has a toothache, he's not allowed to swallow vinegar for refuah. Avul metabelhu kedarko, but he can dip his food in the vinegar, vim nisrape nisrape, and if it turns out that his teeth are better from it, okay, so his teeth are better from it, from the vinegar. So v'raminanallah, so we ask on that Mishnah, that v'raminanallah, we ask on that Mishnah, that lo yigma polit av megameo balea, that we have another brisa that says, that you're not allowed to rinse with the vinegar and spit it out, but you're allowed to take the vinegar and swallow it. So it turns out that even if you take it plain, without any food, without dipping it in any food, it's mutter according to this brisa, and it's not a violation of refuah on Shabbos. So how do we answer the steer in the two brises? So two approaches. One is Abaye, one is Rava. And remember, we're focused on Rava because we want to know if Rava holds of Hoil. So Avam Rabbi, Abaye says, Ki tanan nami masnisin megameo polet tanan. No, when it says that it's usher to be megamea vinegar, it means it's usher to rinse with it and spit it out. That's what the Mishnah meant. But of course, to rinse with it and swallow it, that would be mutter even without dipping it in your food. And what the Mishnah says, that that you could dip it in your food, that's even to spit it out. If you dip it in your food, you could even spit it out. Rava says, no, the Mishnah might even be talking about swallowing the vinegar. It depends if you're talking about before the meal or after the meal. The brisa that allows you to swallow the vinegar alone would say before the meal you could do that, because it's not so recognizable that you're doing it l'shem refuah, since it's normal to have vinegar before the meal. But the Mishnah that says that it's also to swallow the vinegar alone is talking about li'achar tibul, after you already had your food, you already dipped your food in vinegar, and therefore if you then take more vinegar afterwards, that's not l'shem achila, that's obviously not l'shem achila, that would be clearly recognizable, and therefore that's going to be obviously l'shem refuah and aser. But v'im isa, but if Rava holds of hawil, name a hol v'kodim tibul shari l'achar tibul nami shari, shouldn't Rava say that since it's mutter before the tibul to swallow the vinegar, because it looks like you're doing it for achila, l'achar tibul should also be mutter. How could Rava be mechalek? So answers Gemara, Hadabe Rav Meahi. Rava changed his mind from that answer, and he really holds like Abaye, that the Mishnah's matir being megamea to be balea the chometz in any way, whether it's before tibul or after tibul. When it said and when Rava says the svar of hol over here by tvila, that's after he changed his mind. That Rava in fact does hold of hawil. So maidimehi hadabe dilma meha hadabe. So you have a stira in what Rava held, but how do you know which one he changed his mind from? How do you know that he really holds of Hawil, but he changed his mind about the chiluk of before Tibul and after Tibul? Maybe it's the other way around. So it says Marlos al Kadaitach. No, we can't assume that way. Titania, Kol Chayavi Tvilos, Tovlin Kadarkan, Bein Betish Abav, Bein Biyom HaKippurim. Because we have a brisa that says that anyone who's chayav to go to the mikvah can go to the mikvah even on Tish Abav and even on Yom Kippur, even though those 2 days of the year, one is not allowed to bathe on those days of the year. So it's clear that when you're going to the mikvah on those days of the year, you're not doing it for bathing, you're not doing it for cleaning off, you're not doing it for cooling off, you're doing it clearly for tumah, still you're allowed to do it. Why would you ever be allowed to do that? Isn't it a violation of tikkun mana? It must be because we hold of hawil. It must be that since you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, mimela, you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. There are 2 days on the calendar that we actually close our mikvaos, that the mikvaos are closed for women to go. That is Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Those are the only 2 days in the calendar that we close the mikvaos. But wait a second, it says over here, Tovim Kedarkan, Baby Tishba, Baby Yom Kippur, you're allowed to be Tovel Kedarko. So Tosus discusses, Tosus says, yes, that's if you're Tovel Bismana, because there is a concept called Tvila Bismana Mitzvah, that when a person is going to the mikvah on the right time, there is a mitzvah to go on the earliest possible time when you go to the mikvah on the right time. Nowadays, when all women who are nidos observe all of the chumras of Zava Gedola, and then some, beyond Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola would be 3 days plus 7 days of Nikiyim. We do 5 days for Ashkenazim, 4 days for Sfaradim, plus 7 days. So we observe way more than the actual requirement of a Nida. A Nida would only, if a woman bleeds on starts bleeding on Sunday and finishes bleeding on Thursday or Friday, she could already go to the mikvah that Motzai Shabbos for Nida Midah Raisa. So whatever Tevila we do is not real Tevila Bezmana. If it were Tevila Bezmana Mitzvah, then a woman would have to go on time, and even if it was on Yom Kippur, and even if it was on Tisha B'Av. But nowadays, a woman's not doing Tevila Bezmana anyway. It's Tevila well after the Zman, so it's not going to be Docha, Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av. The only reason she would go is to be Matira Labaila, but there's an Isser of Tashmish on those 2 days, so that's why the mikvahs are closed on those two days of the year. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. Meaning you could take this concept very, very far. Hold that something is mutter, it should always be mutter. I'm not really sure. I don't know. You got to go through the sugis very carefully to answer that question. I assume the Rishonim debated. So he said that everyone agrees that you could do hashaka on the water with a kli oven with a kli made out of stone. So Gemara says, "May avalo matbilin." What does it mean that you can't be matbil? What are you not allowed to be matbil? So Amr Shmuel in matbilin as a kli al gav meimav l'taru biyomtov. You're not allowed to take a kli that itself became tamei by doing hashaka with the water that's in that kli with the intention of being mitahir the kli as you're doing hashaka on the water that's inside that kli. Because we only allow doing the hashaka on Shabbos for the water that's tameh in the mei mikvah in order to be mitahir the water. We don't allow it unless it's inside a kli evin that's not mekabel tumah. That's why we say a kli evin. That a kli evin itself is not mekabel tumah, but if it's in a kli eitz, it's mekabel tumah, so then you're not allowed to do hashaka on a kli eitz. That's why the Mishnah specifically said a kli evin that during the hashaka the water will become tahar, but you can't be mitahir the kli as well. So Gemara says mani masnisin. Who's our Mishnah going like then? The Mishnah that allows you to be mashik the mayim in a kli evin and does not allow doing it in a kli eitz, which requires tefila. Who's that going like? Which of the following tanaim could our Mishnah possibly be holding like? Lo Rebbe, it's not going like Rebbe. Lo Rabbanan, it's not going like the Rabbanan. Why? What do Rebbe and the Rabbanan say? The Tanya, we have a braisa as follows. In matbilin asakli al gab meimav letaro. You're not allowed to be matbil a kli with the tame waters inside of it in order to be matar it. Ve'ein mashik in asamayim bekli evin letaron. And you're not even allowed to do ashaka in a kli evin. So that's clearly against our mission, because our mission said you are allowed to do ashaka in a kli evin. Divir Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion. So clearly Rebbe is not the other of our Mishnah. The chacham mom, then the chacham go ahead and say matbilin kli al gab meimav letaro. You're allowed to even take a tameh kli and be tovel the kli with the water inside of the kli to be mitar both the water inside and the kli at the same time. And certainly you're allowed to take a kli evan and be mitar the waters inside of it. So you see clearly that that the Mishnah is not going like the Rabbanan either, because the Rabbanan hold that everything is mutar. So says more money, I Rebbe kasha hashaka. If the author of our Mishnah were Rebbe, well then hashaka is wrong. And I Rabbanan kasha hatbala. And if the Rabbanan is the author of the Mishnah, then Hatbala is all wrong. The Tevil of the Kliates itself is wrong, because the Rabbanan allowed that as well. So Gemara says, Ibai Seme Rabbi, Ibai Seme, Ibai Seme Rabbanan. It might be Rabbi, it might be the Rabbanan, could go either way. Ibai Seme Rabbi, the Mishnah might be going like Rabbi, that even according to his own Shita, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to Hashaka. Reisha, the first part of the Reisha the Brisa, the first part of the Brisa, which asers according to Rebbe, being Tovel Kli, is be Yom Tov. That talks about Yom Tov, where he only asers Hatbala and not Hashaka, because that's Tzoruch Ochel Nefesh, that's Mutar on Yom Tov. Seifa, where he asers Hashaka as well, that's Peshabbos. That's talking about on Shabbos. But the entire Mishnah that asers Hatbala and is Matir Hashaka is B'Yom Tov. That's talking about Dafka on Yom Tov. V'Yibayisema Rabbanan, or you could say that the author of our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, and even according to their Shita, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to Hatbala, and at the beginning, the Chachamim are Matir, even Hatbala, that's on Yom Tov, and at the end, when they're Matir only Ashaka, that's on Shabbos, but V'Kulam Asnis. Shabbos. The entire Mishnah is talking about on Shabbos, so that's when the Chacham will be Matir Ashaka and Asr Hatbala. But in the Brisa, where they're Matir Hatbala and Ashaka, so that's only on Yom Tov, where they're Matir both things. Okay, we'll stop there, but Shem will pick up the two dots tomorrow at Tanur Abana.
So they both work?
Yeah, so they both work according to the Mishnah.